After understanding section 35, let us understand section 35D of the Income Tax Act. Section 35D talks about amortization of preliminary expenses. Now, what is amortization? What is the meaning of amortization, first of all? Amortization means the expenses will be allowed as a deduction, but not at one time, but will be allowed as a deduction in parts, in installments. Whenever the word amortization comes, you must understand amortization means allowing the expenses in parts. Now, what is the meaning of preliminary expenses? Preliminary means before the, what you call it, actual commencement of the business, the expenses have been incurred. So those expenses which have been incurred by the company or by the firm or by the individual before commencement of the business will be allowed not at once after the commencement, but will be allowed in small parts, in small installments, such as preliminary expenses, making, what you call it, feasibility report. Feasibility report has to be prepared before I start my business. Whether the business is good or bad, I have to make the feasibility report. Making project report. Making market survey. If the product, whether the product is suitable or not, I have to incur these expenses before the commencement of the business. Legal charges for preparation of memorandum and articles of association, or what do you call it, printing charges of memorandum of articles of association. Any other expenses in the form of preliminary expenses. And what do you call it? This is expenses incurred on public issue expenses. So these are the expenses which are incurred before the commencement of the business. And section 35D says, suppose I incurred 2 lakhs rupees in all these expenses, 2 lakhs, and my business starts from 1/4/2013 for the first time, then during 1/4/13 to 31/3/2014, I will get the deduction not fully, I will get 1/5 of the deduction. That is, I will get 40,000 rupees as deduction. Can I say that preliminary expenses is nothing but the expenses incurred prior to the commencement of the business, and the deduction of that expenses, consolidated expenses, will be divided by in 5 installments, and in each year he will get the deduction of 1/5, 1/5, 1/5, 1/5. That means the deduction shall be spread over for 5 years. This is how called as preliminary expenses. So this is also very important deduction as far as business is concerned. And the second point is, my dear friends, section 35DDA. Again the word is amortization of expenses incurred on VRS of the employees. If the company gives VRS, what is VRS? Voluntary retirement scheme. Now suppose I have given VRS in this previous year, that is 31/3/2014. I am a company, and I have given VRS of rupees 10 lakhs to my employees. Now this entire 10 lakhs rupees cannot, even if it is debited in the profit and loss account, the income tax will give the deduction only 1/5, 1/5, 1/5. That means this VRS expenses under income tax shall be amortized, shall be given in installments as a deduction for 5 years, not at once. So each year, in each previous year, I will get what you call 1/5 of the actual expenditure. So it will be spread over in 5 years. And certain persons are eligible for VRS. He must be, what you call it, above the age of 40 years. And secondly, he must have completed 10 years of service. These are the rules. Because if VRS is given to a young person, the entire population will become, what you call it, what they will not have anything to work. The productive capacity of these persons will decline. That's why VRS is given. VRS is not liked. That's why. Because the company may give VRS to all the employees and claim the entire deduction in one installment. That's why it says VRS amount shall be allowed as a deduction. And it is obvious, suppose the company is not doing well, company is into losses. Now company cannot sustain the cost of the employees, then it gives VRS. But VRS shall not be allowed fully. VRS amount shall be allowed in installment, that is 1/5, 1/5, 1/5, 1/5, 1/5. What is the meaning of 1/5? 1/5 is given in the Act under Section 35 DDA. Now my question is, if the employee receives the VRS, shall this income be exempt or shall this income be taxable in his hands? Please understand, if the employee receives the VRS, then under Section 10, Subsection 10, Subsection C, the VRS amount shall be exempt up to 5 lakhs of rupees. In the hands of the employee, if he receives VRS after, what you call it, from the company, or from a government, or from a government company, or from a university, or from a, what you call it, local authority, or from a state government, or from a central government, then 5 lakhs rupees shall be exempt, but the company shall get the deduction of VRS from business or profession at the rate of 1/5, 1/5, and 1/5. Is that clear? This is how we have to learn. Now, the next deduction is Section 36. Very important deduction. In this Section 36, there are many deductions, such as insurance premium paid for stock, stores and raw material will be allowed deduction. Insurance premium, Section 36(1), Subsection 1. Insurance premium paid for stocks, stores and raw material shall be allowed as a deduction. I am a businessman and I am dealing in markers. In my store, there is a goods of 10 lakhs rupees. Now, I should be protecting these goods, these raw materials, this stock, against fire, against earthquake, against damage, against destruction, against cyclone, against tsunami, against enemy action, against civil disturbance. Now I have to cover it under insurance. So the amount of premium paid to the insurance company for, what you call it, for insuring these stocks, stores and raw material is an allowable expense under Section 36(1), Subsection 1. of the Income Tax Act, my dear friends, I tell you again and again, the expenses must be allowed under income tax. Accountancy, you can debit the expenses, but you have to see the expenses in the light of income tax. If the income tax says, yes, I will allow it, then only it will be allowed while calculating the total income. If the income tax does not allow the expense, it will not be allowed. We have seen capital expenses are not allowed as a deduction. Personal expenses are not allowed, that we'll see later on. But scientific research, even capital expenditure such as bus purchase, such as machine purchase for scientific research was allowed as a deduction. So everything is focused under the Act. So you have to be very particular about the allowability of the expenses. Then we will play with section 36(1), subsection 1A. Insurance premium paid by the Federal Milk Society on the lives of the cattle. Suppose Amul Milk Society is there. It has got cattles. Now, if the cattles are insured, naturally, the amount paid by the Federal Milk Society for the insurance of the livestock and cattle shall be allowed as a deduction. Now, section 36(1), subsection B, Mediclaim. If the employer takes the Mediclaim for the workers, for the officers, for its employees, then that Mediclaim expenses shall be allowed as a deduction to whom? It shall be allowed as a deduction to the employer, not to the employee. Because who is paying for Mediclaim? The employer is paying for the Mediclaim. Should you not ask me a question? If the employer is paying the Mediclaim for the Mediclaim facility of the employee, should it be treated as a perquisite in the hands of the employee under section 17, subsection 2? The answer is no. Mediclaim facility cannot be treated as a perquisite in the hands of the employee. So, Mediclaim expenses will be allowed as a deduction, provided only one condition is there, that the expenses must not be incurred or must not be paid in cash. So if the employer makes the insurance premium in cash, then he will not get the deduction of that. This you please keep in mind. So the next deduction in the line is section 36(1), subsection 2. That is bonus and commission. If the bonus and commission is paid to the employees, it will be allowed as a deduction. But mind it well. If the bonus and commission is paid to the employees, it must be paid either within the end of the accounting year or previous year, or up to the due date of filing the return of income. These are the two things. If the bonus and commission is paid within the end of the accounting year or up to the due date of filing the return of income, then only it will be allowed as a deduction to the employer. If the bonus and commission is not paid, suppose my accounting year is 1/4/2013 to 31/3/2014. This is the accounting year. And I have paid 5 lakh rupees bonus. To bonus. But this bonus has been paid not on 31/3/2014. But the bonus is paid on 30/June/2014. After the end of the accounting year. Shall it be allowed as a deduction? The answer is yes. Either it should be paid either up to the end of the accounting year or within the due date of filing the return of income under section 139, subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. It should be paid either up to the end due date or up to the end of the accounting year. If it is not paid, then it will not be allowed as a deduction. So bonus and commission will be allowed as a deduction on actual payment basis or on provision basis with a condition that it must be paid either up to the end of the accounting year or within the due date of filing the return of income. And the due date of filing the return of income is specified under section 139 subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. Now, where this condition is entailed? This condition is entailed under section 43 capital B small c of the Income Tax Act. Section 43 capital B, if you will see, the bonus and commission must be paid. In section 43 capital B small c, you will find a word that the bonus and commission as per section 36(1)(2). Only these two lines are written. So bonus and commission paid shall be allowed as a deduction to the employee only when it is actually paid, either up to the end of the accounting year or up to the due date of filing the return of income. If it is not paid, then it will not be allowed as a deduction to the employer. This fact you must keep in mind. So this is how you have to understand the concept of bonus and commission. Now, having understood section 36(1) subsection 2, let us play with section 36(1) subsection 3. Section 36(1) subsection 3. The wording of section 36(1) subsection 3 is interest on borrowed capital. If I take a loan for my business, I have to pay the interest. And if interest is paid, then interest will be allowed as a deduction. But the interest, the loan, the capital, the borrowed capital must be used for the purposes of business. If the borrowed capital is not used for the purpose of business, then the interest paid on such borrowed capital cannot be allowed as a deduction. Now, what is the meaning of interest? If you will see section 2, subsection 28A of the Income Tax Act, interest is defined. Under section 2, subsection 28A, interest is defined. So, interest on borrowed capital taken for the purposes of business shall be allowed as a deduction. Now, there are certain restrictions. If I borrowed capital or loan from a scheduled bank or from a public sector undertaking, public sector corporation, finance corporation, then the interest must be paid under section 43 capital B small d and small e. The interest must be paid to such bank or to such public financial institution either up to the due date of filing the return of income or either up to the end of the accounting year. If the interest is not paid on such borrowed capital on the loans procured from the scheduled banks or from the public sector enterprise, and if it is not paid either up to the due date of filing the return of income under section 139 subsection 1 or within the due date of accounting year, end of the accounting year, then this interest shall not be allowed as a deduction. Now my question is, I have taken 50 lakhs rupees loan for purchase of machine for my business. Shall I get the deduction? The answer is no. If the interest is taken, if the loan is taken for capital assets, such as purchase of machine, then the interest paid on such machine shall not be allowed as a deduction till the machine is put to use. If the machine is put to use, After that period, the interest will be allowed as a deduction, but till the installation period, it will be added to the cost of the acquisition of the machine only. So again, I am telling you, interest paid on the capital asset shall not be allowed as a deduction till the installation of the asset. It is provided under explanation 8 to section 43 and section 36(1) subsection 3 says that if the amount has been borrowed for purchase of the asset, till the installation of the asset, till the functioning of the asset, it will be capitalized. After the machine starts functioning, then it has been decided in the case of Chellapalli Sugar Mills case, Supreme Court, which says interest paid after the commencement of the production or after the functioning of the machine shall be treated as a revenue expenditure. This is how we have to understand the concept of interest. Now, I have taken a loan and bank has charged 20,000 rupees as the processing fees. Shall this processing fees be treated as a part of the interest? The answer is yes. The processing fees will also be treated as a part of interest because it is provided under section 2 subsection 28A that the processing fees shall also be the part of interest. Can I take loan from the business? Can I take loan for, what do you call it, my business? Yes. Suppose I have got 5 crores rupees with me and I have taken loan. So, I have taken loan from a bank. I will pay the interest. If I pay the interest on borrowed capital for my working capital, obviously it will be allowed as a deduction. Over and above, if I take a loan for machines, then after the commencement of the machine, the interest will be allowed. But before the commencement, the interest shall be added to the cost of the machine. Is that clear? Suppose I have purchased 50 lakhs rupees machine and I have paid 10 lakhs rupees interest. Up to the commencement period, the interest will be added to the actual cost of the machine as per explanation number 8 to section 43 subsection 1. And after the commencement of the machine, this interest shall not be added to the cost of the machine. This interest shall be, must be, has to be treated as a revenue expenditure. And the interest also includes the service charges. The interest also includes the processing charges. If you will see carefully section 2 subsection 28A of the Income Tax Act, you will find that interest is also includes processing charges. My question to you, I have got 5 crores rupees with me and I take loan, still I take loan, I have got abundance money, can I take loan? Why not? It is my discretion. How to do the business is my, what you call it, prerogative. So, I should take, this interest shall be allowed as a deduction. Can I take interest from foreigners? Yes, why not? You can take interest from foreigners also. Nobody stops you. But mind it well, in case of devaluation of the rupee, if the loan is taken in foreign currency, you may have to pay higher principal amount and higher interest if the currency devaluates, Indian rupee devaluates, because you will have to pay more. So that's how we have to understand in that light. Now, section 36(1), subsection 4. PF, employer's contribution to the recognized provident fund. Employer's contribution to the recognized provident fund shall also be allowed as a deduction under section 36(1) subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. Employer's contribution. mind it well. But you know very well, the employer, if it contributes more than 12% of the PF, shall it be treated as allowable as a deduction? Yes! Even it will be treated as a deduction, because excess of 12% of the PF is always added in the salary of the employee under section 17, subsection 1, subsection 6 and subsection 7 of the Income Tax Act. So, PF contribution by the employer must be allowed as a deduction, provided the PF is paid within the time limit prescribed under section 43, capital B, small b. It must be paid to the PF authorities within time. If the PF is not paid within the time, recognized provident fund is not paid within the time, then that PF will not be allowed as a deduction. Again, I am telling you, section 3614 talks about the recognized provident fund of the employer on behalf of the employee shall be allowed as a deduction, whatever is the quantum, but it must be paid within the due date of filing the return of income or within the due date of the prescribed authority, that is PF authority. If it is not paid, then under section 43, capital B, small b, it shall be disallowed as a deduction. Is that clear? This is how we talk about provident fund.